Hello everyone, this is Dan Sheridan with Cross and Throne Ministries. Thank you for joining me today. This is number 4 in our series entitled Sheridan on Romans. And we are going verse by verse through Paul's letter to the Romans, and we hope you grab your Bibles and follow along with us. And if you're not able to get to a Bible right now, if you're driving or wherever you're at, you can go back and listen to these programs for free online at crossandthrone.com. Again, that web address is crossandthrone.com. Well, we gave an outline of Romans, and I'll give it again because I think it's important. And remember this, my outlines are not given by inspiration. I claim no authority for them. They're just my way of kind of dividing up Romans to into bite-sized chunks for people to get an idea of the subject matter of the book. But I think this is a good outline, and it'll help you gather your thoughts as you study the letter of Paul to the Romans. And the outline goes like this. Romans chapter 1 through 4 is justification. Romans 5 through 8 is sanctification. Romans 9 through 11, dispensation. Romans 12 through 16, vocation. And I think that about sums up this book. And take each one of these sections and read through them over and over again. And if you do miss these programs or you're not able to listen, or you want to go back and check on some of these things and listen to them again, you can go to crossandthrone.com and listen to them there for free. Well, we continue in Paul's letter to the Romans, and we're coming to some very important verses. And I said earlier, this introduction of Romans is very full of truth. Sometimes we just read over these introductions like they don't mean anything, but Paul really gives Romans in a nutshell in Romans 1, chapter 1, verses 1 through 7. So I'm going to go back and start reading and go right into our text. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. And now Paul continues here by telling us about his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, by saying, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh. Now this term, seed of David, takes us back to the king. In the Old Testament, in 2 Samuel chapter 7, God promised King David that of his seed, that he would raise up one to sit upon his throne. And that was the burden of Peter's message in Acts 2 and 3, that God has raised up this seed of David to sit upon a throne to give repentance to Israel. And Paul is showing us, remember in verse 2 he said that the good news, the gospel, was promised before by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. And we saw in the Scriptures how it spoke of this this seed of David who was going to come and die and rise again. And it's interesting, in the New Testament, the Greek Scriptures, they begin and end with a reference to the Lord Jesus as being the son of, seed of David. If you turn to Matthew chapter 1, verse 1, the very first verse of the New Testament, we read this phrase, the book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. And that's how the Greek Scriptures begin regarding the scroll of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. And it's interesting, in the Hebrew order of the Old Testament, the Hebrew order, the Lord Jesus on the road to Emmaus with the two talked about the law and the prophets and the Psalms. And that was the order of the Scriptures in Hebrew. In our English versions, it doesn't follow that order. And I won't get into the details of that now. But the last book, if we were to put it in the order of the Hebrew Scriptures, the last book of the Hebrew Old Testament would have been 2 Chronicles. And 2 Chronicles ends with the phrase, there is no remedy. If you read the last chapter of 2 Chronicles, chapter 36, you're going to see that Israel had no remedy. And so the last page of the Hebrew Revelation, we see no remedy. And then you turn to the New Testament, to the Greek Scriptures, and the first thing you read about is the scroll or the book of the generations of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. There is the remedy. The remedy is in the person and work of the Lord Jesus. He is the remedy for Israel. He is the remedy for the nations. He is the remedy for today and for the body of Christ. And so this is an important thing. So the first time we read of that is in Matthew chapter 1. Then you turn to Matthew chapter 22, and there's another amazing passage regarding this, the Lord Jesus being the son of David. And while the Pharisees were gathered together, I'm reading Matthew 22:41, While the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus asked them, saying, What think ye of Christ? Whose son is he? They say unto him, The son of David. And then our Lord responds by saying, He saith unto them, How then doth David in spirit call him Lord, saying, The Lord said unto my Lord, Sit thou on my right hand till I make thine enemies thy footstool. If David then call him Lord, how is he his son? And that's a great question. How can David call the Lord Jesus his son as well as his Lord? Well, we're going to answer that in a minute. We see in Romans chapter 1 that according he's of the seed of David according to the flesh. Another time this phrase is referenced is in 2 Timothy, where the Apostle Paul talks about the seed of David. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 8, this is Paul's last letter. It says, Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel. And Paul says this, according to my gospel, because the Apostle Paul showed us glories connected with David's seed that was unknown in the Hebrew scriptures. It was known that David's seed would be raised from the dead to sit upon David's throne, but little did the Old Testament know, or anyone else know for that matter, until Peter had a hint of it in his epistle, that the seed of David, the Lord Jesus, would not just be Messiah of Israel, but he would be head over all things of the church, raised far above all principality and powers, as Ephesians 1 tells us. So the glories of Christ have been expanded throughout the revelation of Scripture. And finally, the last time we read of this phrase, seed of David or son of David, is in Revelation chapter 22, verse 16. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright and morning star. Now notice the Lord Jesus calls himself the root and the offspring of David. How can, and this is the same question the Lord Jesus asked. If David calls him Lord, how can he possibly be his son? Well, he is the offspring of David, but he's also the root of David. He's not only David's son, but he's David's Lord. You know, John the Baptist said something about the Lord Jesus, He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. Well, in what way was the Lord Jesus before John the Baptist? He wasn't born before him. As a matter of fact, the Lord Jesus is born after John the Baptist. Well, the difference is this. John the Baptist began to be at his conception, and so did King David when he was conceived. And in Psalm 139, he talks about, In sin did my mother conceive me. But the Lord Jesus didn't begin at Bethlehem or conception. He is the Word who became flesh, or made flesh and dwelt among us. The Lord Jesus said, Before Abraham was, I am. His glories exceed that of David and John the Baptist or any other man, because he is not only David's son, but he is David's Lord. The Lord Jesus did not begin in Bethlehem, and he did not begin at conception when the Holy Ghost came upon Mary. This was the beginning of his life here on earth as the Son of God, the incarnate Word of God, as the theologians call it, the incarnate Word. But that means he was made flesh, incarnate, carne, you know, that word carnal for flesh. Chili con carne means chili with a meat, or something like that. I don't remember if con means for or against in that context, but you know what I'm talking about. But the Word was made flesh. So in Romans chapter 1, back to Romans chapter 1, we read about that the gospel that Paul proclaimed is a good news, God's good news concerning his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh. Now, Paul later on uses this phrase in Romans 9, he was the seed of David according to the flesh. It says, referring to Israelites, that of whom, as concerning the flesh, Christ came, who is over all, God blessed forever. Amen. So the Lord Jesus came of this line, the line of David. He was an Israelite according to the flesh. And by the way, if that were still true today, if he was still in that position, you and I as Gentiles could have no claim on him as the son of David. And let me show you what I mean. In Matthew chapter 15, verse 22 to 24, we read this. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with a devil. But he answered her not a word. Now notice this. Here comes this Canaanite woman, a woman of Canaan, and he calls him the son of David. And when she called him the son of David, he didn't answer her a word. And the reason is she had no claim on him as the son of David. That title's exclusively for the people of Israel. And if this were the role he occupied today, as the seed of David, you and I would have no claim on him. And notice what he says to her. It says, he answered her not a word, and his disciples came and besought him, saying, Send her away, for she crieth after me. But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Friends, if the Lord Jesus were still in his earthly life in his body of flesh, you and I as Gentiles could have no claim upon him. And thus we see in verse 4 that he was declared, and he's declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection of the dead. This is a complicated phrase, but let's point it out. Let's look at it like this. In verse 3, he's the seed of David according to the flesh, that is, as he came here as a man on earth. And he was declared to be the Son of God with power. This term, Son of God, that means he's applying it to all of us. Seed of David connects him with Israel. Son of God connects him with the world. Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead. Now, the term Spirit of holiness is in contrast to the phrase, according to the flesh. According to the flesh in verse 3 is put over against the phrase, according to the Spirit of holiness in verse 4. And so if according to the flesh is in reference to his life on earth as a man, in verse 4, according to the Spirit of holiness is referring to his resurrection. And to prove that, in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 45 and 46, we read these words. 1 Corinthians 15, 45, And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. You see that? Howbeit that which was not first, which is spiritual, but that which is natural, afterward that which is spiritual. The spiritual came second. It's referring to him, the quickening spirit. He gives life. He quickens. He's the Son of God with power. Resurrection declares him to be the one who has the ability to raise the dead, and that he is the first fruits of them that sleep. The Lord Jesus and I am the resurrection and the life. And what proves that he's the Son of God with power? What declares this? Resurrection. And this is what distinguishes Christianity in the Lord Jesus Christ above all other religions, the teaching of resurrection. We have someone who has the power of death, and no one else can do that. No one else can say that. Well, we have to stop here now. There's a lot uncovered in this, but ponder these passages. This is Dan Sheridan, and my web address is crossandthrone.com. Go there. You can listen to these programs for free. Also, if you want to help keep this program in the air, please consider supporting us. You can send your donation to Dan Sheridan at P.O. Box 421, Round Lake, Illinois, 60073. Again, P.O. Box 421, Round Lake, Illinois, 60073. Or you can just hit the donate button on our website and donate through electronically. If you have any questions, feel free to email me or call me at 847-312-4676.